Hey, we've got Kirk Cameron in the studio, and he says you can have a library story hour without drag queens. Weird.
Trump was arraigned in Manhattan on 34 felony charges, but don't worry, he can shoot someone in the middle of Fifth Avenue and not lose any voters.
We felt a great disturbance in the force this week, as if millions of blue checks suddenly cried out in terror and were suddenly silenced.
Dungeons & Dragons has come out against mixed-race characters. Not very tolerant and open-minded, if you ask me.
Dylan Mulvaney is a Bud Light partner now, showing that Bud Light really needs to do some market research on who buys Bud Light.
All this and more on...
The Babylon Bee Podcast.
Hey everyone, you're hanging out with me, Kyle Mann, my buddy Adam Yenser, and our buddy Kirk Cameron. How you doing,
Kirk
man?
Kirk Cameron's here today.
I'm
doing great. You don't get much better than this.
Nice.
I drive in traffic, and I'm rewarded by hanging out with you guys at the Babylon Bee.
You always look like you're having a great time.
Yeah,
I'm having a great
enjoying
time.
Life.
You know,
did you know Ray Comfort slapped us?
He slapped you?
Yeah,
he slapped him. Yeah.
Oh, not him. Yeah, he wasn't here, but he came on to do an interview with us. And he kept saying that people needed a good slap in the face, which for such a loving guy, you know, was very weird. Like, he kept saying it. And then we said, do you think we need a slap in the face? And he jumped up and walked across and slapped me and Jared. Oh! He actually hit us pretty good.
Yeah. Wow.
So, does that sound characteristic?
Ray gets away with a lot of... just outrageous things.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a bit much,
the
right?
Things that he says to people, you know, have you ever lied? Have you ever stolen anything? You ever looked at a woman with lust? No. Are you homosexual? and then he'll say things. You just say, Ray, how do you get away with this stuff? But he's this cute little Kiwi with a beard and a funny accent, and you just can't get mad at him.
It's like, oh, you're so cute. You just tussle his hair. And
yeah.
Little guy. Well, that's great. So you got any comedy shows coming up soon?
Yeah, I'll be in Ohio tonight and tomorrow, Friday at 8:45 at B.B. Rooner's Funny Farm in Salem, and then Saturday at the Funny Farm in Youngstown.
Oh, nice.
Right near where the train exploded, so I'm going to be bringing some bottled water.
Don't drink the water when you go to Mexico and Ohio.
I got to be careful of the water.
Do you got any comedy shows coming up, Kirk?
No. I don't have any comedy shows coming up, no, I don't.
No?
I
don't. Okay.
You thought about booking one for a second?
No, I didn't. I was just thinking about, you know, the news is kind of a comedy show the time.
That's true.
Right? Mm-hmm. And
have you ever done stand-up comedy, Gary?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
No interest?
I don't think I'd be very good at it.
Okay.
No, I like a team of like 12 writers following me around, just telling me what to say.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Kirk does do some kind of library show, but not with drag queens. So we're going to talk about that. The libraries are firmly opposed to how Kirk Cameron does not groom the children.
They're against that.
They're against
they want
against
only
the
groomers.
This is a grooming only zone.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Trump being indicted on felony charges. We're going to talk about Dungeons and Dragons, the continuing slide into wokeness. Dylan Mulvaney being a Bud Light partner, blue checks losing their blue check, and more. So hit like, subscribe, hit the little bell to keep up with all our podcasts on YouTube. Find our Babylon Bee podcast page on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Rumble. And hey, we want you to become a paying subscriber to the Babylon Bee. So go to babylonbee.com/plans. And use the code PODCAST. If 50 people don't sign up right now, we are going to cancel the podcast. Right now. I know that there's one out there. I see that hand, sir. I'll wait. No, I don't know. Yeah, use code PODCAST at babylonbee.com/plans and you'll save 20% on an annual subscription. Let's jump into the show. Here we go. Hey, Babylon Bee fans. Join me at the 2023 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Friday, June 16th and Saturday, June 17th at Concordia University, Chicago. I'll be making the case against cancel culture. I'm going to talk about comedy and art and how Christians can use these tools to fight against cancel culture. It's time for us to stand up for our beliefs in the public square. And the Babylon Bee is just one small part of that fight for free speech. It's going to be a great time. I'll be joined by journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod President Matt Harrison, San Francisco Archbishop Salvatore Corleone,
and others. Attendance is limited to 500. On-campus dorm options are available. Early bird registration is $140 and includes 3 meals. Learn more at issuesetc.org. That's issuesetc.org. Making the case June 16th and 17th in Chicago. issuesetc.org. I'll see you there.
And now it's time for story time with Kirk Cameron. We're the drag queens.
So, Kirk, you've been touring the country doing, you call it Brave Story Hours?
Brave Story Hours, that's right.
And you're reading your new book, As You Grow. Oh, Brave, because it's Brave Books. I get it.
Yeah, that's the publisher, Brave Books.
And we actually covered this at the Babylon Bee. The library kids were excited to hear a story read by mysterious new drag queen, Kirk Dazzle Glamoroni. There's an actual picture of you in drag.
Not Photoshopped.
You know,
Photoshopped
at all. I didn't want that photo to get out. You found it.
But that's great. So what's your new book about? Why read it at libraries? What's the response been? Let's talk about them.
So I wrote this new children's book, and it's all about teaching kids biblical wisdom and the fruit of the Spirit. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. And I wanted to read it at public libraries because story hours are all the rage now. And I was denied by over 50 woke libraries that previously held drag queen story hours.
That's so crazy.
So if you want to read about wokeness as a man with a beard in fishnet stockings and heels to little toddlers about gender and sexuality and other topics, that come on, but if it's about love, joy, kindness, and loving God, it's a hard no. And what we did was push back on this because we figured that would be the response from these libraries. And we wrote a letter. I gave them a free copy of the book and said, I think you'll agree these are the values we want for all of our kids. But if you persist in the discrimination because of my sincerely held viewpoint about loving God and others, I'm prepared to exercise my constitutional rights. And we immediately got emails with links to sign up for story hours at these libraries. And when we went to Indianapolis, which was the first one, who said that our community is not interested in your messaging, we had over 2,500
wow.
parents and children show up and overwhelm that library on all 6 floors out the front door and down the street. And it was a similar response in Scarsdale, New York, and then also in Nashville and Fayetteville and Los Angeles and other places where they said their messaging at that library and my messaging were not aligned. Not true, according to the citizens of those cities.
Yeah. Well, and I could kind of understand if, I mean, not that it would be a good thing, but if they just didn't allow people to come in with outside beliefs or whatever to come into these libraries, it'd be one thing. Like, we just don't have people do that. Like, we have our own people do the library thing. But the fact that they allowed drag queens to do it, and then they were like, oh, you're this guy that's coming in and you're a Christian or whatever. You know, it's so bizarre that point of hook.
Well, and one of the interesting things that happened during this tour, and we're going to about 15, 20 cities to those public libraries before July, because we've got a big deal coming up in July. We were in Fayetteville, Tennessee, and we went there and had about 800 moms and dads and kids standing out in the rain and the cold with umbrellas waiting to get in. We were gathered around the flag outside the library singing the national anthem and God Bless America. We were praying in Jesus' name, and we were talking about solutions to the nation's problems. And the librarian inside was so against us being there that when we finally got in to do our work, he was kicking cabinets and having his staff play loud music and dropping books so that we couldn't continue. And wow. This so
exactly
upset.
The opposite of what a librarian's supposed to do.
You're supposed to be quiet.
Shh.
And he said
it's
we weren't even supposed to be there.
More noise.
And you know, the community got together to get together with the board of directors at the library and fired him.
Wow.
And so that demonstrated to us once again that the perception that we're being told to swallow, that libraries are woke, public schools are woke, everybody wants this stuff, and that Christianity belongs in a ghetto margin somewhere is not true. There's millions of people out there that are saying, no, these are the values that we know lead to our blessing.
That's a fantastic point, because I think they're doing that not just at libraries and schools, but the culture as a whole in every aspect of society, they're trying to push these woke values. This is what America's shifting to. Sure. This is what is important.
Doesn't that sound
now.
Like propaganda?
And it doesn't seem
an elite
it is propaganda,
few
yeah.
pushing a message so consistently and so loudly mm-hmm. that most people who just want to go along to get along and not get in trouble believe what they're told from authority figures. That's why it's important we have a higher authority than the media and the government, and that is the Word of God.
Amen.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that a little bit later with like Dylan Mulvaney and the Bud Light yeah. stuff. But that's one of those things. It feels so inorganic. Like somebody's just like, this is your new role
yes.
model. You know?
Yeah. So these yeah, are when our Dylan values. Mulvaney popped up, I never heard anyone who was a fan of that first.
Right.
It was immediately being pushed and, you know, these companies partnering with.
Right.
These are interesting pictures, right? These they look like drag nuns, mm-hmm. right? Like the Munsters in drag. And some of them, I think they were from a group called the Hillbilly Harlots.
Oh,
and they were there sort of blocking
wholesome.
The kids' views and holding up these signs about Christian hate and stuff like that. But the parents actually turned it all around. Many of them were homeschoolers, and they use this as an object lesson for their kids to demonstrate the difference between light and dark, between like truth and error.
You know that devil we teach you about? Like, their point.
Here we go.
You should bring little awards like for best costume that you just give out to the protesters.
See, I need you guys okay. there with me on this library
After
tour.
Oh, you win, down, you win best costume.
Let us know. Babylon B and Kirk Cameron doing yeah. a story.
Let's go, baby.
I would be totally down. Yeah, so we got these pictures. You can check them out if you're on the video feed there. Are you going to keep doing this? What's
Yes.
What's,
you... Yeah, we're going to keep doing this. We were just in New York City and we were just in Washington, D.C., very interesting. There were still families showing up at these libraries, even though in D.C. we were there the day before Trans Day of Vengeance. I don't know if you heard about that.
Yeah.
But that, together with the tragic shooting in Nashville by that shooter, and you know, we'll see what that manifesto says. But these Christians that are being targeted for their beliefs, and together with all of this trans anger. We're in a difficult spot, but parents understand this is our moment as the family of faith to demonstrate what courage and hope looks like and engage a culture by standing for what's right. And I've really been inspired by them.
And apart from the libraries that are, you know, opposed to this and resist it, have you found, I'm sure you've found a lot of libraries that are excited to have you
oh,
there
yeah.
and welcome
oh,
you?
Oh, yeah, there's tons
awesome.
Of people.
Yeah.
Tons are saying, come to our library,
yeah.
come to our library, we want,
that's
you, we
fantastic.
Want you here. And it's interesting that people will say that, but then sometimes the leadership in those libraries will still oppose it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's highlighting the need that we have to engage culturally, not just say, well, we love libraries, but we need to be involved in preserving our libraries and guiding and directing our libraries by getting involved in the leadership positions.
Yeah, because a lot of these people that are graduating with woke, you know, liberal arts degrees from woke colleges, and then that's the jobs that they kind of gravitate towards.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't really...
Community organizing
yeah,
and
that kind
and,
of stuff.
And that kind of stuff. Well, we're busy raising children
we
and trying
jobs.
To work, and we want to... Yeah.
I'm just kidding. But yeah, you know, it's not something that we conservatives or Christians tend to gravitate towards, so...
We used to, I think, in culture, but we've gotten further and further away from that.
Well, Kirk... It looks like you're doing a great job out there, and anybody that sees a Kirk story hour, go check it out. But we have a very special award that we want to present you with now.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
We actually presented this award live at our Be Live event last month, in late February. And now we wanted to give it to you in person. So
this is for the best Christian actor who got his start in Growing Pains and whose first name rhymes with Dirk. It's a fiercely competitive category. But this year, the award goes to Kirk Cameron. What?
But this is our best Christian actor who got his start on Growing Pains and whose first name rhymes with Dirk.
You know, I...
If you have an acceptance speech you want to give or...
You know, I watched this and I wondered where the award went. And
yeah,
here it is now. I thought maybe Kevin Sorbo stole it or something like that.
He tends to do that kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but this is a real honor. I mean, there's so many Christian actors who got their start on Growing Pains mm-hmm. whose name rhymes with Dirk.
Yeah, right.
But you were the best.
But I was the best yeah. of all of them.
You know, choice. And, you know, congrats to all the nominees.
I'm deeply honored. Yeah. You know... People don't realize this, but there actually were a lot of actors who got their start on Growing Pains. Yeah. Can I list a few? Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got, now I'm forgetting his name.
Kirk Cameron.
No. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
We're taking that award, giving it to him.
Right. He played like our little brother on the show. And Brad Pitt. And there were so many old-time famous actors that we brought back from The Love Boat and Gilligan's Island and great shows like that. And then, Hollywood's a small world. And so a lot of the people that you see today, they're like huge stars, were all on those shows back in the day, like Growing Pains, Who's the Boss, all those things. So it's cool to have been a part of that.
Yeah, awesome. Well, congratulations.
Thanks, man. I will treasure this.
Award-winning actor.
I can't wait to take this home to my kids. They're going to be just like, no way, Dad. That's awesome.
That's so wonderful. Hey, I have two questions for you. How are you paying for your health care? And how's that working out for you? If it's working perfectly, great. Go grab a snack. If not, then listen closely, because I have a solution for you. A biblical solution. Samaritan Ministries. Samaritan Ministries is a community of Christians paying one another's medical bills. It's biblical, affordable healthcare sharing with no network restrictions. Here's how it works. When a medical need arises, you choose the healthcare provider that's right for you and have a say in the treatment you receive, even if it's a natural approach or an alternative medical treatment. Your medical bills are shared with fellow members and your need is covered in prayer. Healthcare sharing with Samaritan Ministries may also be more affordable than what you're paying now. And if it's the right fit, you can join anytime, even today. Check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org/TheBabylonBee. That's SamaritanMinistries.org/TheBabylonBee.
What's in the news this week?
Former President Trump flew to New York to appear in court facing an arraignment on 34 felony counts for alleged hush money payments to Stormy Daniels.
I hadn't heard much about this.
Yeah, this hasn't been in the news too much. We're bringing it to light to our...
An obscure story.
It's been a little bit of a circus. I know they were kind of...
It really has. I was actually surprised that he went in to be arraigned and came out and flew home before he gave his speech at Mar-a-Lago.
He did the campaign speech after that.
There's some expectation that he's going to start talking to people right outside the
courtroom. So what's the plan with that? What's the next step in that? I heard that the trial is going to be sometime in December of this year. So what happens between now and then?
I think his lawyers will file a lot of motions to
get the
case dismissed because it's on very shaky legal grounds.
Yeah. But
if it does happen in December, then I think that's part of their goal is to just have this overshadow as much of his campaign as possible.
Now, call me a conspiracy theorist, but...
You are a conspiracy theorist.
But if I were his political opponent... Boy, this just seems like a perfect plan to get him all tied up in knots after December as we go into the year of the election. And he might even be just viewed as a felon and a criminal while he's running for the presidency.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of their goal. But then I think that also could backfire because it's galvanizing a lot of people around.
Wasn't it Elon Musk that said, go ahead and indict him, handcuff him, and that will have him win in a landslide at the election?
Yeah, you're definitely going to fire up the fan base. Trump fans can be a little
they're
crazy.
Yeah.
So you lock him up or you put him in handcuffs, you get a perp walk or something, and it's going to be crazy. But I know a lot of them were hoping for that. They were hoping like he'd get handcuffed and brought into court, and it turned out to not. It was just an appearance, indictment. So, but yeah, the indictment was kind of weird. It's 34 felony counts, but it's all the same count, and they just like used every time that they thought it occurred as a separate count. I mean, normally you would just put those into one charge or whatever.
And they said these hush money payments, the crime, it's from 7 years ago. It's from right before he ran the first time. And if it was just a misdemeanor, which it would normally be charged as, the statute of limitations has expired. So this judge attached it to a federal charge of campaign finance violations. Because they were saying he was trying to influence the election by hiding it. Mm. So it's kind of a new crime that he invented.
Yeah. Hmm.
But Trump is on brand. He immediately released a t-shirt.
Oh, I got to get one of those.
A not guilty mugshot.
Got to wear it around LA and see what kind of reactions it gets.
Oh.
Do you have one of these shirts yet?
I don't have one of these yet.
Do you own any Trump NFTs?
No.
Okay. Do you know what an NFT is?
No, what is an NFT?
It's kind of like a digital trading card. You know, and you can they sell them and they make money off them.
Okay.
It's like artwork that's supposed, digital artwork that's supposed to appreciate in value almost like cryptocurrency.
Got it.
It's kind of
got
crypto
it.
Artwork, sort of.
Got it, yeah.
I don't know what it is.
And Trump released drawings of him as a superhero that are supposed to be NFTs that will be worth money, and they sold out.
They did sell a ton of them.
Yeah.
They made a lot of money on them. So, Kirk Cameron NFTs.
Hey.
When are they happening?
That could be the next big thing. Mm-hmm.
We'll work with you on. We'll talk after.
Okay.
We'll work with you on it.
Some blue checks on Twitter became former blue checks as Elon Musk says you need to give him $8 a month to be verified. One of the most high-profile ones is the New York Times lost their blue check mark despite having 55 million subs and the 24th most followed Twitter account.
That's just funny to me.
Yeah. And Elon, I don't even know the whole story behind this, but he changed the Twitter logo to the Dogecoin logo this week.
I know, I saw that. Logged onto Twitter and there's a little Dogecoin.
Yeah, Twitter also changed the information when you click on a blue check. Now you can't tell who is a legacy blue check and who bought one. So they're hiding who's
paying for it.
Yeah, who's paying for it and who earned it before that.
And they also changed the logo, as you were saying, to the Dogecoin.
Yep.
Are you on Twitter much, Kirk?
I'm not on Twitter very much.
Are you smart and you just avoid all social media?
I generally avoid it personally, but I use it to, you know, get the word out.
Get the word out about events and stuff.
Yeah, stuff like that.
But you don't wake up and start scrolling.
I don't wake up and start scrolling, no. Yeah.
That's probably pretty smart.
Have you bought a blue check mark?
I actually did.
Really?
Like 2 weeks ago. I wanted to tweet a quote from a C.S. Lewis book. And when you buy Twitter blue, you get to tweet longer than 280 characters. So it was more for that than the blue check.
Yeah, wow. I have a Twitter account, but other than promoting like stand-up shows, I don't interact with people on Twitter much.
Yeah, you just ignore them. Mm-hmm.
So. Ooh, what's this?
Well, Kirk, you want to read this story?
Dungeons & Dragons to remove half-species from Player's Handbook claims the entire idea is inherently racist.
So they have characters like, they have races you can be like half-orcs and half-elves, which are like, you know, human parent. Elven
hybrids,
parent, hybrid type, and they said, no, that's a racist concept. I don't know what the reason is.
I don't even understand how that's a racist concept.
Yeah, so...
Fictional beings can't intermate with each other.
So lead rules designer Jeremy Crawford said, our team are game designers and storytellers. We're not experts in culture and inclusion, so we're focused on what damage should this creature do. That's why everything goes through inclusion review now. So everything in our game brings out delight. Even reprints are going through inclusion reviews. That's why some older books are changing too. Frankly, we are not comfortable with any of the options that start with half. The half construction is inherently racist, so we simply aren't going to include it in the new player's handbook.
So in Dungeons and Dragons, Barack Obama could not exist. Right?
I guess. But race in the books isn't, it's not like different skin colors.
It's not skin color.
It's like elves or like dragonborn type characters. They're more like creature types than they are racist.
Okay.
So it's even stupid to even and why would that be racist anyway? I don't get it at all.
Yeah, yeah, that would be a mixing of species, not just race within a species, right?
Right.
But we got people trying to do that now, becoming half reptile though, you know, and animals, dogs, cats.
And the other thing is that the half species, they often use in the D&D books and stuff to kind of comment on racism. So there'll be like a half elf that they're like,
they hate
they're
him
an
because
outcast,
he's half elf.
You know, and they use it to like make social commentary in a good way. So I don't know why you would say that this is racist. I actually saw the Dungeons & Dragons movie last week.
Oh, how is it?
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah?
It was really good. There was no sex stuff. There was like two cuss words in the whole movie. And
we have opposite standards of what makes a good movie.
Kirk Cameron could have starred in this movie.
I could have.
Yeah.
Wow.
There was like nothing really bad, and it wasn't woke at all. You know.
That's good.
I'm always like, okay, when are they going to drop the gay character?
Yeah.
Nothing. Gay people do not exist in this universe.
Hmm. It's an interesting, tolerant universe where no mixed race people or gays exist. Have you ever played Dungeons & Dragons?
I never did. I never got into it as a kid.
I think I tried it once or twice when I was a kid. Yeah, I've never played it a whole lot.
Yeah. Mm. I've played, but not in the last like 6 months. Mm.
It's been 6 months.
It's been 6 months.
Yeah.
I gave that up a long time ago, November.
I have my chip.
Yeah.
My 6 month ship. Well, moving into sadder news, of course, Covenant Church met on Sunday after the shootings that happened at Covenant School last Monday. It opened up with a prelude, including the statement from Reverend Britton Wood. The world has changed since the last time that we got together on the Lord's Day, but our King still reigns. And he said in the sermon, we're here to tell you today that God is in control.
Mm.
They didn't diverge from the normal liturgy, and they only alluded to the shooting where it was relevant to a particular element of worship. A colleague preached from Luke 24, tying it to the creation of Narnia in The Magician's Nephew. We're all on the road to Emmaus together right now, and we're all longing to hear Narnia awake.
Mm.
So tragic, but it's always kind of inspiring to see people come back after a tragedy like this.
It is. You know, this is where good theology is so important. You know, we want to love God, we want to love people, but when the difficult questions arise, it's theology that gives us ground to stand on. And the cross is the ultimate object lesson for us. We look at that and we say, how could such an innocent man be murdered this way? And yet, out of the tragedy and the injustice of that, God purchases the salvation of the world. And that's where our hope is rooted, is that through all these tragedies, God will somehow, in his providence, turn this for good, and we still have reasons for courage and hope.
Absolutely. Our a friend of the podcast, Doug Tenaple, said, our church is a sister church of Covenant Nashville. The youth and surrounding communities pray and share in small groups. So many teens are coming to Christ. What was intended for evil, God is using for good. Evil and death never get the final play.
That's right.
So let's all keep praying for Nashville, that God will work all things together for good, even if we can't see how. Of course, we all know Romans 8:28. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Now let's make a joke about Dylan Mulvaney.
Yeah, let's see how this works for good.
Here's our banger of the week.
Banger of the week.
This is a beverage pretending to be beer features man pretending to be woman. This was a really strong banger.
This is strong. This article did really well. And Dylan Mulvaney has now come out as a Bud Light partner, whatever that means.
Yeah.
So I guess he got a commemorative can with his face on it.
Yeah, to celebrate his 365 days of girlhood womanhood or whatever he's claiming.
And he posted a video of it with the...
All these companies, I wonder, is it just that there's one woke person or a group of woke people in Budweiser's marketing department that think, oh, this is a good idea?
Yeah, I wonder about that.
Because it doesn't seem like the whole company would all be like, oh, this is a good spokesperson to partner with.
You got to think all the good old boys at Budweiser probably aren't into this, and there's got to be one woke person in the PR department or something.
And then everybody's afraid to stand up to them because they know they'll be called intolerant.
Isn't that crazy?
Let's not do that.
Isn't that crazy? But that's common. That's common in so many industries, right? You don't want to be the one that sticks your neck out and crosses the woke narrative line, even though everyone's probably thinking the same thing. This is crazy. Yeah. This is nuts. What are we doing? Yeah. Why are we doing this?
Yeah, I think at Be Live, Seth's speech or something, he says something about cancel culture and that we empower cancel culture by not speaking up.
Because that's right.
Everybody who did, like, probably the majority of people are against it, but you don't want to speak up because you don't want to be the one to stick your neck out.
Yeah. Well, and my experience in Hollywood was there's people who are maybe more moderate Democrats or moderately on the left, and they go along with this stuff because even they are afraid of the backlash from the people further
from their own team.
There's some people, you know, that they might be, you know, traditional blue collar kind of Democrats, you know, or that's how they were raised. But then this woke stuff, even some of them are like, we don't want to go that far, but they know they'll be criticized and called intolerant and torn down if they don't just keep going further and further to the left.
Absolutely. And you know who's not afraid of cancel culture, though, is Kid Rock.
No, I'm sure he had a reasonable response to this.
He blew up a bunch of Bud Light with an MP5 submachine gun. So I guess that's one way to handle it.
That's one way. I think a better way to handle it would, you know, if like he and Dylan Mulvaney could just sit down and talk about it man to man.
And now it's time for our bomb of the week.
Bomb of the week.
Man who exited elevator on wrong floor forced to re-enter and complete remainder of ride in shame.
It's very relatable.
I like this one.
Yeah.
Although typically, if I get off on the wrong floor, I just
commit to it until
I commit to it.
Until
I
the
pretend
next...
that I was on the right floor.
Yeah.
And I just wait for the next car. That's what they call them. You ever done this, Kirk? Relatable? Should this have been done better?
Really relatable.
All right.
I've gotten off on the wrong floor many times. I miss exits on the freeway all the time. Just this morning, I missed an exit on the freeway. My wife told me, aren't you supposed to get off there? I'm like,
Now, as someone who's famous and is somewhat recognizable, do you worry more about that stuff? Because I think, you know, if I step off an elevator and get back on, nobody cares. And then
right,
everybody's going to go, hey, remember that time Kirk Cameron got off the elevator on the wrong floor?
Yeah.
I just commit to it.
Yeah.
I just walk down the hall like I know where I'm going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to
look. And I take the stairs.
That's what it is. All right. Well, now it's time for Sizzler Facts. Hey, this is a special Sizzler Facts. Today we are celebrating 1 year of Choices. It has officially been a full year of the most celebrated segment in all of podcast history, Sizzler Facts. Many members of the Sizzler Fact community have wondered why there is no intro jingle for Sizzler Facts. The reason is simple. There is no real reason. However, on this very special anniversary, we threw together a really quick little jingle just to make this segment a little extra sizzling for you. So before we read this week's Sizzler Fact, please enjoy this very new Sizzler Facts intro.
All across America, the song of freedom rings, a song that's growing stronger every day.
It tells us when we listen to the message that it sings. Let us lift our voices. We can make the choices. We will make the most of all the best that freedom brings. Sizzler is the one that brings us choices. Reaching out across the USA. Each and every day, get a
and even California, a quiet revolution has been taking place. More and more, both parents are working and raising families. Life seems to be moving faster than ever. And Americans and Californians have rediscovered, are redefining what's really important in their lives. They want quality in their personal life, in their business life, in the goods they purchase, and in the food they eat. They want good, basic home cooking, quality food, and they want choices, variety, all at a reasonable price. Americans and Californians want value.
Sizzler brings the choices that you've been looking for.
combination. But don't just take my word for it. Let's hear what they have to say for themselves.
Hi, I'm Kyle Mann, the editor-in-chief of the Babylon Bee, and Sizzler is the cheesy toast of my heart.
Hi, this is Travis, and I just want to say that eating at Sizzler Steakhouse is like getting hit by a bus of flavor.
Hey, I'm Brandon, and my last Sizzler steak was better than my last steak from Fleming's.
This is Bettina, and as a professional nurse, I recommend the tiny Sizzler corn.
This is Dan Coates, and Sizzler has been a buffet of blessings in my life.
It's Chandler, and Sizzler is the greatest restaurant known to man.
And that's a fact.
Jared here, and when I'm at Sizzler, all my troubles melt away, and I even forget I'm bald.
We go in Sizzler, we go in Sizzler.
This is Emma, and Sizzler is a restaurant.
Sizzler is the choice of America.
Sizzler facts.
Wow, that was something.
That was something. It makes you appreciate all that Sizzler and Sizzler facts.
Yeah, absolutely. Kirk, would you like the honor of reading the Sizzler fact this week?
Oh, really?
I get to do it? Yeah, this is, so you're a Sizzler fact, so you get to do the special Sizzler fact.
Okay. Here we go. This week's Sizzler fact. Sizzler facts is canceled. This has been Sizzler Facts.
Wow, way to bring down the room, Kirk.
Yeah, well,
no, we're canceling it, I guess?
This is the last.
Wow.
That's kind of a downer.
Interesting.
All right, well, now it's time for Weekly News with Adam Yenser.
It's time for the Weekly News with Adam Yenser.
A Russian officer who recently defected said Vladimir Putin is now paranoid, lives in a bunker, and is terrified of COVID. He's basically become pandemic-era Joe Biden. In a new interview, Bill Clinton said he regrets convincing Ukraine to disarm and that Russia probably wouldn't have invaded if Ukraine still had nuclear weapons. The reporter then said, "Oh no, that's not the news story we want your expertise on." Donald Trump was charged on Tuesday with 34 felonies related to hush money payments to cover his alleged affairs with porn star Stormy Daniels and Playboy model Karen McDougal. Honestly, I'm tired of doing dirty jokes about this story, so I'll just report the facts. All of these charges against Trump rest on the key witness, Mr. Pecker. While discussing his plans for the future of Apple, CEO Tim Cook said, "We don't want people using our phones too much." To which the CEO of Android responded, "Hey, that's our business model." According to Forbes' new rankings, Elon Musk has fallen to the second richest man in the world behind Bernard Arnault. Elon was then spotted panhandling in a Walmart parking lot. A new analysis of 40 years of research found that moderate drinking provides no health benefits whatsoever, so I guess I'll try heavy drinking instead. According to a new report, CNN's Don Lemon once sent a threatening text message to a female coworker that said, "Now you've crossed the line and you're going to pay for it." The line she reportedly crossed was turning 40. Another female coworker described Don Lemon as rude, dismissive, and really unfamiliar with the news content being discussed, which can't be true. He was literally texting with Jussie Smollett as the Jussie Smollett news was happening. The Columbia chapter of the National Lawyer Guild complained that by letting students meet with Justice Brett Kavanaugh, they were normalizing white supremacist patriarchal violence in the law. But Kavanaugh insists he didn't even talk about law, they just played Flip Cup and pounded some beers. In a new documentary, Pope Francis described sex as one of the most beautiful things that God has given to the human person. He then added, "I mean, just look at these pictures." That's it for Weekly News. To see more, check out my YouTube channel and come see me live. I'll be at the Funny Farm in Ohio April 7th and at the Comedy Chateau in North Hollywood April 14th.
Hey, thanks, Adam Yenser.
Hot on the heels of the second largest bank failure in U.S. history and the eighth interest rate hike within a 12-month period, 186 more banks are at risk of collapsing. Your bank could be next unless the Fed does what they just did back in March and prints $300 billion out of thin air, making your dollar worthless. Not to mention the recession risk that could have a significant impact on your investment and retirement accounts. Take our advice and protect your financial future with something real, like gold and silver, from my friends at Allegiance Gold. Allegiance Gold can help you protect your IRA or 401k with physical gold and silver, and if you prefer, you can have it delivered securely right to your front door. Since the beginning of time, there is only one universal currency that is always of value, and that's gold. Allegiance Gold has the highest ratings in the industry, 5 stars with TrustLink, a AAA rating with the Business Consumer Alliance, and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You can invest with confidence because of the quality and service of Allegiance Gold.
Get up to $5,000 in free silver on a qualifying purchase when you visit protectwithbee.com today. That's protectwithbee.com. Or give them a call at 844-790-9191.
Hey, Mr. Postman, what's in the mailbag?
Now it's time for a question from our mailbag. Oh, this is a long question. Babylon B, I was so happy to hear Jared, Adam, and Kyle talk about their Bible reading, and the short discussion was one of the best things I have gotten out of subscribing. I think I like the discussion so much because it was low-key Christian leadership by example, and nobody had to preach about the poor state of biblical literacy in America. Are Christians who wonder why their growth is stalled when they never read their Bibles? I encourage you to get out from behind the paywall. To finish up, I wanted to pass along two resources that have increased my joy in reading the Bible. First, a chronological Bible helped me put so many world events in context, and I especially like it when I get to the Gospels and see how the writer emphasized different things about the same events in the life of Jesus. Second, the Bible Project has done so much to fill in the historical and cultural context of every book in the Bible. Did you have any idea that the Bible wasn't written specifically for English-speaking Americans in the 21st century? In Christ, Jared Noe, also known as Holy Diver. So Kyle, Adam, and Kirk Cameron, what have you been reading in the Bible lately? What is God saying to you? Oh, someone wrote that. I think he didn't write that. Kirk, you get to preach now.
Well, he just said that that's what he appreciated.
That we're, like, no, we're not preaching.
Kirk, you
now
he
wasn't
you know, to be honest, yesterday I was sitting around my campfire in the backyard, and I was reading Psalms 145 to 150. That's the end of the book of Psalms. And the theme is of praise, praising God. All his works praise him. His character praises.
Like, let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, yeah. And what I really thought was so striking about it is that often we think of praise as something like, oh, Lord, I got a raise today, or, oh, Lord, I'm still healthy today. I praise you for the good things that you're sending my way. But the psalmist there is praising God for just his character, no matter what comes his way, praises him for his works, not just the good things that are enjoyable, but for everything, because he's the blessed controller of all things, working it all for good, even the bad stuff. And so the theme is praise God. And that's really the legacy that I want to leave to my kids. We often think of leaving a legacy of having done great things or even obedience to God. But I'm thinking, no, I want to leave a legacy of praise to God, to my children, so that they can say, you know, even when these difficult things happened, Dad continued to praise God. Why? Not because it was easy, but because he believes in the character of God and that everything he does well. And that's just been, you know, having an impact on me.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, when I started trying to read through the Bible again, like a little under a year ago, it was doing like a psalm and a proverb and a New Testament book. And like
little.
Yeah, a little bit of everything. But the Psalms are just something you can read every morning. Like, it's just so
Good. And, awesome. And then to think of those things being set to music and sung as psalms, some of them war songs, is just, it's amazing.
I know people have done some projects where they set all the psalms to music. There's been different ones of those. Those psalters and stuff, but
I've never
really tried to go through and like sing through some of those, but I know some, like Chris Tomlin will steal a line from it and put it into a model, which is like, other than that, I haven't done too much of that.
Right. You know, maybe we could get like ChatGPT to like put something together for all of the songs.
Hey, that's a good idea. We'll like ask put it to music. GPT to set the psalms to music.
Yeah, and then you guys could sing those here on the Babylon Bee. It would be awesome.
Yeah.
Does ChatGPT set things to music?
It probably could.
Can it write music?
Can it do anything? Could.
I think you can. It's kind of scary.
Do you guys even write your own jokes here at the Babylon Bee?
No.
You guys are probably just using ChatGPT.
Give up on writing stuff a long time ago.
Have you seen our AOC article generator? We have an AOC article generator that's built on ChatGPT, where it generates the headline and the whole article.
That's awesome.
AOC. Mm. Oh, you gotta check that out. But I started reading the book of Ezekiel this week.
Yeah.
So I didn't understand anything.
Okay.
But I think that's cool, you know, like when he's seeing the vision of the crazy wheel thing and it's flying all over the earth and all this, I'm like, realizing how small we are and how big God is, and how holy he is. It's just crazy.
Yeah. One of my joys over the last 5 years of reading the Bible is, so I became a Christian when I was 17, so it's been like 35 years now, And when I first started reading the Bible, I studied at I had a John MacArthur study Bible. And so, you know, John will take, you know, 10 years just to get through the book of John in the Bible, right? Because he's going one, two verses per Sunday, which never gave me the big meta narrative of the entire scripture.
Right.
And so now that I've had so many little Bible verses studied in my brain, and I'm stepping back to look and reading faster and more in one sitting, I'm getting more of the narrative. And all of a sudden, all this stuff is popping into my mind. I've got like this mental mental concordance now, yeah, to where I read something here in Matthew, yeah, 24 and boom, I'm going back to Isaiah and in Ezekiel. I'm thinking, oh, that sounds like this, that sounds like that. And then symbolism starts to make sense, and that begins to give context to weird passages and define them. And I'm thinking, this is really cool. It just gets better and better reading the Bible.
Yeah. Get Bible-pilled, people.
Yeah, you saturate your mind with enough scripture, and it becomes like a sponge full of water. All you have to do is just touch it, and it just oozes out over the sides. And it's really, really a cool thing.
Well, that was uplifting and encouraging. Now it's time for hate mail.
You used to be good.
Adam Ford.
Adam Ford.
Adam Ford.
Adam Ford.
I really miss Adam Ford.
This is from Frida's Boss on Twitter. And they shared our article, which was, judge for Trump trial revealed to be a kangaroo in a powdered wig. And this person says, I'll never get over the fact that the Babylon Bee is supposed to be funny. I don't get it. It's like a six-year-old making a joke. They just say the two things they can think of in as quick succession as possible. I mean, I think it's...
Well, what was the two things we thought of there? A kangaroo and a powdered wig? And we just mashed them together?
I think the joke is that a kangaroo is wearing a wig. And it's,
yeah,
funny.
It's just silly. It's just kind of whether funny or not you like Trump, yeah, it's a funny visual.
It's a good visual.
Here's one from Eastern Tauhi fan page. The article was, chiropractor promises he'll have you good as new after 328 more visits. And this person wrote, heartbreaking, worst news satire site you know just made a good post.
Well, it's not really
sort of hate. It's a...
It's like, I always like those when they're like, I hate you guys, yeah, but that's a funny...
That was good,
funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait till she sees the kangaroo in the powdered wig.
She'll like two posts from us. All right, everyone. Thank you for watching. Stay tuned if you're a subscriber. Thanks for coming in, Kirk. This is awesome.
My pleasure. Yeah, it's awesome.
Thanks
having
for having
you here.
Me.
Always.
Thanks for the award.
Yeah, this definitely is great, man. So we're going to keep chatting with Kirk behind the paywall for a few minutes. Stay tuned if you're a subscriber. We have a second set of 10 questions for Kirk Cameron, plus extra special questions because we get to talk to Kirk Cameron. And we're going to see which subscriber headlines of the week make Kirk Cameron laugh. Use promo code podcast if you want to join us for 20% off. And let's do it.
Coming up next for Babylon Bee subscribers.
We got a few bonus questions for Kirk. Is okay. Hillary Clinton the Antichrist? How old is the Earth?
Kevin Sorbo put out a new Left Behind movie. Who did it better, you or him?
What is your favorite dinosaur?
Ooh.
You are given a gospel tract and Ray Comfort. You can go back in time and convert any three people to Christianity.
Finally, 10, you get to heaven. What's the first question you are asking God?
This has been another edition of the Babylon Bee Podcast from the dedicated team of certified fake news journalists you can trust here at the Babylon Bee, reminding you that fake news of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth.